And obviously, there's only one real good iteration of this. Would you like to guess who the best iteration of this is, Jamie?
Of Will They, Won't They?
Will They, Won't They? Did They, Why Don't They?
I feel like the right answer is Maddie, like the moonlighting couple.
This is, don't worry, I'll cut all that. So it's fine. Don't like.
You put me on the spot.
I know. Sorry, I thought it was obvious. So I was like, this will be like a setup spike. And then did you start saying moonlighting?
It's not Rachel and Ross.
And I was like, I don't even know what moonlighting is. Is that an act? Is that a show? Is that a movie? Hello and welcome to episode number 516 of the podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Knox McCoy.
And I'm your other host, Jamie Golden.
The podcast is a show dedicated to delightful idiocy, and we're committed to educating you on things entertaining but do not matter.
To find out more about these Fidus Chutas pursuits, check us out at knoxandjamie.com. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook at The Podcast, and we're on Twitter, not X, at Podcast Pod.
Thanks for joining us this week as we are going to be talking about Famous Friends.
But before we do that, you guys, it's August and the podcast turns 10 years old this month. That is the longest this ADHD, Enneagram 7, Scorpio sign. I've never committed to anything. I'm trying to talk about astrology where you can't put the clown music. So there are many ways you can celebrate our birthday, but I want to focus on two. The first is for everyone, even if you're not a best friend of the show, a BFOT. Our August AUA is an all-skate birthday party, and everyone is invited. Listener Rachel Ortiz helped us name the special event our birthday UA.
You get it? Oh, that's good. That's good.
This monthly live stream gathering is normally only for BFOTs, but we open the gates once a year, so you can wander around and see how nice it is. Look at all the amenities. Knox and I will be there in our finest party clothes, along with Aaron and most of our PMG team. It's BYOC, which is cake. So make plans to join us on Tuesday, August 8th at 9:30 p.m. Eastern on Patreon. You can watch on your TV, your tablet, or your phone. Head to knoxandjamie.com/birthday to get all the event details. And then second, Knox and I will also be wearing our finest party clothes in person in Austin on September 2nd and Atlanta on September 30th. We just opened up some new seats because our family members are weirded out by when they come to our live shows. So we have some more seats available. Plus, as a birthday month hullabaloo, we've added a special discount for Austin and Atlanta, which is almost sold out. If you head to knoxandjamie.com/Austin and click the square on the far right, you can save some dollars on your tickets. And if you head to knoxandjamie.com/Atlanta, you can also save some dollars on some slightly reduced tickets that we just released. So you want to be in the room where it happens with Aaron Moon and Jason Waterfalls on stage, along with some fun surprises. All the links are in Indy's fantastic show notes. So we hope you're excited to celebrate our birthday with us this month.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
All right, Jamie, we're talking Friends. We're talking Famous Friends, and I'm really excited to do so. So this was recommended-ish by at Katie Splinter Which is, that's just an excellent username.
It makes me think of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, right?
Yeah, weird emphasis on mutant, but I'm not against it, so
they're not normal turtles.
They're not, they're Teenage Mutant Turtles.
Well, but do you think it's more important that they're mutants or that they're teenagers?
That's a great philosophical question, and I do feel like for the story hook, it is much more important that they're mutants, but I think for the heart of the story, I think we'd all agree that it's more important that they're teenagers, you know? But like, not in a weird way, but like, in a state of life way, you know, like not 100%. Like I'm here to watch Teenage Turtles, not regular adult turtles.
Like I'm here for Teenage Turtles. Yeah.
That's right. Because again, against pedophiles.
No pedophiles.
For young turtles, but also mostly for people, but also for young turtles. Probably
that's
that
exactly
order
right.
Of,
that's right.
of preference. But Katie Splinter mentioned the famous Friends, though, which is why we landed. The reference she used was Matt Damon and Ben Affleck. And I feel like Ben Affleck's kind of always hovering the news because of being a famous person and being with Jennifer Lopez. Matt Damon, very much in the news because of his turn as the military heavy in Oppenheimer. I thought this was a good launching off point.
No, and I love it. And it's perfect for our birthday month as well because we have best friends of the show. That's what's actually helped in the scheme of our company. Like what has helped us grow and propel us forward and helps us pay all our staff. We definitely have ads during shows and that helps for sure. But the majority of our income actually comes from our friends and our best friends of the show. So mm-hmm. We're very grateful to our BFOTs for how they pay my health insurance. So I'm so grateful for them forever.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Friends is an enduring theme, not only in conversation, but in the operational value of our business. You know, whenever we're doing an episode, I try to like just gauge like what's my initial thought on something before like I dive into the research, you know?
Yeah.
And I was thinking like, when I think of famous friends, like who do I immediately think of? Beyond the Matt and Ben of it all, I realize I don't really actually think of it correctly. I just think of famous people who are fans of sports teams, and I assume that they're all really great friends. Like I assume Paul Rudd and John Hamm and Heidi Gardner and Cam from Modern Family are like the bestest of best friends because they're always like they're Chiefs fans. But I don't know if that's actually true. You know?
And see, I always think of like if you were to say who do you think of when you think of best friends in Hollywood? I always go to Nicole Richie and Paris Hilton, even though they're really technically like they had a falling out. It was like complicated, but I always think of them. And I always think about their third wheel, Kim Kardashian, who ironically enough has circled the wagons around them 17 times and is now worth $17 billion. And she was like, I was the third friend that only was valuable to organize closets. And now I run the planet. So.
Just a inspiration for third wheel friends everywhere, you know,
you.
That they can possibly aspire
to. As someone who's often
it.
A third wheel friend, she is my muse for sure.
You're often a third, like, is that a lately thing or is that like throughout the course of your life?
No, it's because I'm not good at being a friend in the sense of like, nobody's like making me their best friend because like when they want to talk about something meaningful, I'm like, I gotta go pee. And then I just leave. Like I can't handle the emotional heavyweight part of friendship. So I'm not often someone's best friend. I'm their maybe most fun friend. Like I'm a lot of people's most fun friend, but like I'm not most people's like, oh yeah, she will cry with you. She will hold your hand through a difficult thing. No, I'm the friend that's like, you were in the hospital? Oh my gosh. Did you post about it on social? I had no idea.
You texted me, but I didn't read it. So how would I know?
How would I know?
I don't think I'm not really a first or second or third. I'm just kind of like a friend out there for some people. I just like, I'm like an idea, you know, I don't really like have like slotting or anything like that, but, I exist sometimes to people as friends.
Yeah. Have you been a groomsman in a wedding? You've been a groomsman in a wedding.
I have.
There you go.
I've asked Jason to send, pictures, of his Italy trip. So I've gotten some really great pictures.
What a friend would do.
He took a really great picture of a really rundown Burger King and sent it to me and thought I would like that. And I did. I enjoyed that very much. So that's how Burger King's popping off.
That's right. Jason Waterfalls is in Europe. And we were like, did people prepare you? And we realized no one had prepared him and his sweet wife about like how you have to like just etiquette of being in. And I was like, listen, someone's going to try to pick your pocket. And then a city councilor is going to come out and start screaming. I said, Jonah. And you're going to know, like, keep your stuff tight to you. Keep your stuff tight.
There's
no water or ice anywhere. So you need, and he was like, they told us that we shouldn't bring a water bottle. And I'm like, there's water in your sink. So if you want water, you're going to need to have it with you. Like, nobody's going to give it to you.
I told him if he doesn't talk with his hands, people won't listen. It's almost like an on-off switch. Right. If you're not speaking, gesturing with your hands, they can't even hear you in Italy. I don't know if he bought it, but I'm looking forward to hear his experience of it. So we're going to talk broadly and specifically about Famous Friends. Jamie's got a really great listing of some examples to go through. Before we do that, I wanted to run through, I think it's important before we talk about like these specific iterations of Friends. I think there's a large kind of phylum, class, order, family, yeah, genus, species of Friends, you know, that I can kind of talk about to help maybe frame that conversation. So I'll run through a few types of Friends with an example really quick. You know, we mentioned Matt and Ben as the jumping off point. I think they're a great example of the Bill and Ted type of Friends, where their friendship is more interesting than either of them singularly are together, you know?
That's fair.
It's like that's their friendship together is actually the thing that got us interested in them. So when you make them be separate, you're like, ah, man, it'd be cooler if they were like on stage, like hugging each other after winning an award, like the Oscars, right?
I would rather see them together all the time. Like when Matt was doing press, he was often paired with Emily Blunt because Emily Blunt and he live in the same building in New York, and they go, whoa, on family vacations together, which is super cute. But they were not interesting together. I'm going to be honest. Like their interviews were not interesting because she would also often try to be making fun of him because you can tell that's a part of their friendship. But he was not good at he didn't feel comfortable like giving it back to her.
Yeah.
So it just made her look like a bully, which she's not. And it's just like, this is not fun. That's not a good hang. So I kept wishing Ben Affleck was in it. I was like, well, who could Ben Affleck have paid? Could he have played the bomb? I don't know.
I got the answer. The Chevalier dude. You need like a Frenchy kind of douchebag.
Yes. Yeah.
Ben Affleck couldn't have done that. He couldn't 100%. Have. That's a deep cut Oppenheimer reference. So for the flyover Karens, they haven't seen Oppenheimer. They're not going to know what that means. It's not even an important part of the movie, but I feel like he would have nailed that part.
He would have. I would have loved to have seen them do press together.
Okay. You also have the Timon and Pumbaa friends. And these are the friends that are so different. It informs their relationship in a really sweet way. And that's Snoop Dogg and Martha Stewart. You look at them, you're like, yes, huh? What's going on here? But then like when you actually look at iterations of the friendship, you're like, that actually makes a lot of sense. They bring out some good stuff in each other. Although I don't know if Timon was like his best, most healthiest self in that partnership in The Lion King, you could argue. Felt like there was some monomanic tendencies in Timon, but that probably is a different episode to examine that. There's the Nick and Jess in New Girl, aka the will they, won't they, did they, why don't they? Yes. And these are friends whose friendship is mostly informed by the absence of a romantic entanglement, despite everyone wanting it. And obviously, there's only one real good iteration of this. Would you like to guess who the best iteration of this is, Jamie?
Of will they, won't they?
Will they, won't they, did they, did why they? Don't they?
I feel like the right answer is Maddie, like the moonlighting couple.
This is, don't worry, I'll cut all that. So it's fine. Don't like.
You put me on the spot.
I know. Sorry. I thought it was obvious. So I was like, this will be like a setup spike. And then did you start saying moonlighting?
It's not Rachel and Ross.
And I was like, I don't even know what moonlighting is. Is that an act? Is that a show? Is that a movie?
Dare you pretend you are 24. You are not 24.
Is that what the youths do to each other and show their butts?
Stop it. Moonlighting is a delightful show with Bruce Willis and Cybill Shepherd.
Wow. Too soon. Too soon on Bruce Willis. I was actually going to say Mindy Kaling. I know.
I think I'm gonna
become the guy who, like, if anything's happened to anybody at any point, I'm just gonna be like, ooh, too soon.
And listen, like, it is too soon because back. I just found out Pee-wee Herman is dead and I didn't know, and now it is too soon.
Yeah, it is. I mean, but it's like then you get in the conversation of like, how much respect do you give the death of a public masturbator? Like, where's the line?
I know, he
you
was
know?
70. I feel like he's always been 29 to me.
This was like a great question for Aaron. Aaron, can we get your take? How, at what point, like a public masturbator, like how do you honor them and their death? You know, what's your take?
Listen, I don't know. Okay, this is tricky.
I also want to become the guy who just asks Aaron impossible questions. I want to bring her in and ask her an impossible question to answer.
How long ago did he publicly,
can you say it?
Twiddle
is dumb. Was it his dumb or his D, Knox? You know the facts of the story.
I think masturbation is so.
It's D, yeah.
It's such a clinical word that it takes the piss out of it. But then when you say twiddle, like it makes it weird all over again to me.
Okay, when did he publicly masturbate? How long ago?
Man, I don't know. Wouldn't it be weird if I knew exactly? That would be kind of strange.
That would be weird. Like the date? Yeah, the time, the movie.
It was July 26, 1991.
Oh, if it was last century.
Oh, yeah, I agree. If it was last century, and he apologized and was like, my bad. Plus, he was, to be fair, he was in Sarasota, Florida.
And, okay, that's a different story. Okay,
right? I feel
who's like gonna that's do it? The who's going to do it?
What was the movie?
Exactly. Thank you. Who's going to be the one that's like, if you're there in that kind of movie, you're kind of asking for it, right? Like,
and
that's
how
what
many
we do
people
here.
Were in that theater? I think the movie is really the deciding factor here.
What's the well? I'm gonna go back to the number of people in the movie. Is there like over 7.5? It's offensive. Under 7.5, it's not offensive.
I'm just saying, like, if you're, I don't know if I want to be the person.
No,
that really,
you started.
Listen,
so just like see
know,
where you go.
Know,
just see
I
where
know.
You go. It's all good fun.
I know. I think
this
the
is all
movie,
good Christian fun. You know.
Okay. What if I told you the name of the lineup of films that night?
Okay.
Nurse Nancy.
What's that about?
Well, you'll have to.
What do you
Google
think?
That.
What do you think, Aaron?
No, she is Googling it, everyone. Note for the audio. She is Googling it.
I want it to be like Nurse Nancy, Debbie Does Dallas, and the Bridges of Madison County. And it's like, well, you know, we got to put a legit.
That is a trifecta for sure.
If you found out Pee Wee Herman was doing this to Bridges of Madison County with Clint Eastwood, would that change how you feel about this, Aaron?
Oh, Nurse Nancy was the movie that he was watching.
Yeah, because the next two movies were Turn Up the Heat and Catalina 5-0 Tiger Shark.
Nurse Nancy is an adult movie.
It's an adult film. Yeah, it's South Charles Cinema. It's an adult movie theater.
What are we doing if we're not doing that at an adult movie theater?
Well, and the detectives came in at the first movie. They nabbed three men for indecent exposure. So they were just getting ready.
Wow.
And then one was openly twiddling his D, and that was Paul Rubens.
Look, I don't know. I mean,
hold on. This was happening in like the opening credits of the movie? That's insane to me, honestly. The
that's
SWAT team was waiting?
That is somebody that's come to party and has wow. already brought, they've already pre-gamed. Do you know what I mean?
Pun intended. Yeah. Yeah. I think that is right.
Do you want to know what the tagline is for this movie?
Oh, for Nurse Nancy?
Yes.
Time for your sponge bath?
Oh, no. It's not even that good.
I don't know why you're acting like that. You put me on the spot, and I thought that was a pretty good answer.
That was actually a pretty good
answer. No, that was good. I was saying that was good. Nancy and her roommate are just what the doctor ordered.
What? That's too long. That's too wordy.
That's not. You can't have that's a whole sentence. That's too many verbs.
You're introducing other
like
characters
that
haven't even made it to the premise of the movie. That's insane.
Again, podcast teens, we're so glad you're here, but do not repeat these stories to your family.
I'm editing this one because Jason's at Burger King in Europe, so I think I'm going to keep all that. I liked all of it. Did I even say who the example is? Did we ever get to that in this, the Nick and Jess? Will they, won't they, did they, why don't
no.
they? No. That's my
no,
fault.
My apologies.
Mindy Kaling and BJ Novak.
Oh, yes. Novak. Well, and yeah. I think, well, we know they have because she has said they dated and they,
okay.
But they're not together anymore.
Sure.
Okay. She, you know why they're not together? Because she's why? Almost 20 mile hikes, which is how she's pretending she got that body. Okay.
Who has the time to walk?
Nobody's going 20 on 20 miles. Mile hikes every day. So she has toddlers. No one is going on 20-mile hikes.
The logistics alone. We're talking hours. We are talking literal hours.
Nuts.
Unless she's got a good pace. Another type of friends, the Jonathan and David. These are friends who are... You worried? Aaron, you nervous? You feel good?
Oh, I'm not nervous.
Okay. I like it. These are friends who are so famous and such good friends that people think it's something more, but it isn't. It's just what you think it is. Good friends.
Do you think Ken and Alan were something more?
I don't think so. I don't think there was that in the text. I think it was just pure friendship.
He just could wear all his clothes and he was his buddy.
Yeah. He's just something you need. Sometimes you need a Jonathan and a David situation in your
that's
life.
Right.
I've
that's
got
fair.
This as Oprah and Gail, you know, both famous.
Oh, yeah.
No, both really good at what they do. People like to make it weird, but it's not weird. They're just good friends. Nothing wrong with that.
I like that.
There's the Dwight and Angela, and these are friends who are connected by a circumstance. That is kind of strange, but their relationship together makes people uncomfortable around them. I've got Derek and Julianne Hough for this one. They are related, but the relationship still makes people uncomfortable.
It still makes me uncomfortable. It's will they, won't they? It's a combination of all of these. It's Jonathan
it really
and David.
Is.
It's Nick and Jess. And to be honest, it's Timon and Pumbaa.
It is. Who's the Timon? Who's the Pumbaa? Is the question right there.
Oh, Pumbaa is for sure Derek. Come on.
I think so. I think you're right. There's the Buzz and the Woody, aka the frenemies. And these are, they present like friends, but on the surface, they're trying to outdo each other. Think Kobe Shaq in the early 2000s. Think Taylor Swift, Katy Perry. There's the We Dug Coal Together. This is like Raylan Givens and Boyd Crowder in Justified. And these are people who serve together in obscurity before finding their places in the world. And I'm thinking Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants girls. We got Blake Lively, America Ferrera, Amber Tamblyn, and Alexis Bledel.
They are actually, all four of them are super good friends, even though Blake Lively has like far And you know what it is? It's also a combination of the Toby and Leo, because the sisterhood all knows what Blake Lively's nose looked like when they made that first film.
That's true. That's
and
true.
It does not look like that anymore.
I don't know. Not. Late puberty. It happens sometimes, Jamie. You just don't know. Yeah. You just don't know. Yeah. There's the smoke show friends, and these are people who wouldn't normally be friends, but they're so hot that they can't relate to normals, so they just have to seek companionship in each other.
So like me and Aaron?
Of course, it was on the tip of my tongue, but you said it first, so there it is for the record. I'm thinking Brad Pitt and George Clooney. We got that. I just found out Brad Pitt and Bradley Cooper are both like really good friends. Like Brad Pitt got Bradley Cooper sober, so I thought that was interesting. I'm thinking Janelle Monáe and Tessa Thompson. You don't know how to approach those people. Like, no one can be friends with Tessa Thompson.
And Janelle and Tessa are also many, like Nick and Jess, Jonathan and David. Like, they're all of those as well.
That is true. That is true. And then lastly, we have the Nepo babies. And these are the friends who don't get why everyone else doesn't understand how hard it is to be successful when your parents are super famous and successful. And so they have to seek companionship in each other. I'm thinking Kay Hudson and Liv Tyler here. Kay Hudson and Liv Tyler, really good friends, Nepo babies. That's what's really driving.
Oh, yeah, because their parents were famous. And so they went to the same famous high school. And so they all became friends like really young.
I read that Kay Hudson calls Steven Tyler Papa Tyler. And I'm just like, I just don't like any of this. I would like to hit the.
You think Papa Tyler would tap that? He would if given the opportunity, right?
The question is, has he? I don't want to ask the question everybody's thinking, but has
he? I definitely think they have kissed on the mouth, like for sure, 100%.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
This episode is brought to you by our amazing sponsor, Olive & June. As a longtime user, like 6 years, and a huge fan of Olive & June, I still can't get over how easy and convenient their Manny systems are. Between hosting 2 podcasts, planning a live show, and our latest merch launch, I haven't had much time for like self-care and sitting around at a salon for hours. No time, but I do love having pretty nails, and it's during these busy, hectic times that I'm especially thankful for Olive & June. Their Manny & Petty systems come with everything you could possibly need to have salon-worthy nails genuinely at home whenever you want them, even if you only have 5 minutes. I love how Olive & June, they've created products for those of us with a lot on our plates who maybe are not great at doing their nails. Like, I don't have a ton of skill set. And look, they've made it easy. The number of times I've done my nails in a rush as I'm about to run out the door and then end up smudging them, it's super embarrassing. You'd think I'd learn by now, but no more. Olive & June's line of tab press-ons are a life hack I never want to live without. They're so easy to put on and come in different sizes, so you can always find the perfect fit for you. They look so real and they last like 10 or more days, and they're not damaging like gel. I love that I can order them as part of the Manny system with up to 4 different tab sets. It's the perfect time-saving Prezi for myself. Visit oliveandjune.com/popcast for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/popcast for 20% off your first system. This episode is brought to you by our amazing sponsor, Aura Frames. I am super excited to share that this brand is not only Knox and Jamie approved, but more importantly, it's Chuck and Jan approved. Aura Frames are Wi-Fi connected frames with unlimited storage, so you can share as many photos you want from your phone and they just magically appear on the frame. If Chuck and Jan aren't enough of an endorsement, it's also been named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter. It's such a fun gift for all ages. Do you know what my favorite part of the Aura frame is? I haven't been called over to Chuck and Jan's house even once for like Tech Sunday to like set it up, to fix it. It's truly the perfect set it and forget it gift in the best way possible. I was over to their house for Easter dinner. My niece sent all the adorable photos we had taken of my cutie patootie great nephews to Chuck and Jan's Aura frame. And it was so easy and seamless and fun to have the photos show up before we even left the house. Jan is the most difficult person to buy gifts for. And I was excited to see how much she loves her Aura frame, because I immediately decided to get one for her bedside table for Mother's Day this year. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's auraframes.com. Use code podcast at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. The show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Has everyone's social calendar suddenly picked up, or is it just me? This is that magical time of the year when I can actually enjoy a patio lunch with Jan or just be outside for longer than 10 minutes without immediately regretting every life choice. You know what I mean? Since this beautiful weather only lasts about 5 days in Alabama, it's always tempting to cram in as many social gatherings as possible, for I need to limit myself to indoor-only activities, and it can be easy to ignore my social battery and spread myself too thin. As an extrovert, I tend to thrive around people, and I always thought the more the merrier when it came to social commitments. Therapy has been super helpful in giving me the self-awareness I needed to build a social life that does not drain my battery. Being able to not only recognize my boundaries, but be able to enforce them has been so helpful in creating some balance in my life. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. Since it's entirely online, the convenience truly cannot be beat, and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/podcastpod today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/podcastpod.
Jamie, do you want to talk about celebrities we didn't know were friends?
Okay, so my favorite story of all time of two celebs that were friends that we didn't know they were friends when they were little and now they're like married is Marcus Mumford, the lead singer of Mumford & Sons, and Carey Mulligan. So that's my first, because that's just a favorite. That's not who I'm going to really talk about. But like, again, they met at Christian youth camp and they became pen pals when they were, when she was 12 years old. How freaking adorable is that? And then she went to a Mumford & Sons concert in 2011 when she was 26 years old, and they like saw each other after, and they were like, oh my God, you remember pen pals? And then 6 months later, they were engaged to be married. Now they have two kids. They've happily ever after. And listen, that was right after she split up with Shia LaBeouf.
Wow.
And she returned to the original, which I love. And the fact that
to be a fly on the wall of the Shia LaBeouf Carey Mulligan conversations, I would like that.
But then another, like, you didn't know they were friends, but they really weren't friends. Matthew Perry, you know, from Friends, and Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. Okay.
What?
They went to, yes, they attended elementary school together. And Matthew Perry famously tells the story of how when he was in the fifth grade and Justin Trudeau was in the third grade, he beat him up. He said, quote, I think he was excelling in a sport that we weren't. So it was just jealousy. I'm not bragging about this. This is terrible. I was a stupid kid. I didn't want to beat him up, but I felt like I had to. I think at one point I tried to turn it into love play, which made it worse because you're fifth grade and third grade.
I'd like to, defense would like to inquire as to the definition of the word love play in a fifth grade bullying situation.
I don't know what that means when you're 11, but Justin Trudeau famously tweeted at Matthew Perry and said, I've been giving it some thought. And you know what? Who hasn't wanted to punch Chandler? How about a rematch?
Wow.
I love Justin Trudeau. Okay.
What are the odds that they call themselves the Disgusting Brothers when they go out together? It's pretty high, is it not?
It's 99.8%. And then I want to give a couple that I didn't know were friends. And again, it goes back to childhood, because you just never know who your friend. Like, I don't know. Maybe somebody I was friends with in childhood. Maybe they're not, you know. I don't know. I come from a small town, like an actual small town.
Yeah.
Like with one traffic light and no stores. And so, I don't know that any of us ever worked out, like including me, you know what I mean? But I love that these famous people were friends as children. The first being Gwyneth Paltrow and Maya Rudolph. And they are still super close to this day. They became friends, not just because they went to the same school, but because their dads went to college together. Dick Rudolph and Bruce Paltrow became best friends when they met in college, and then they moved their families to Los Angeles, and so Maya and Gwyneth both went to St. Augustine by the Sea school. That feels like the most famous, you know, the OC school ever.
Anything,
right?
By the sea, school, restaurant, government building, don't care, love it, all in. Thank
love
you.
It, always into it. And then when Gwyneth was on SNL in 2001, she said, I hosted once before, but this week has been really extra special to me because one of my best friends is on the show now, and I'm so proud of her. We've known each other since we were 7 years old. Her name is Maya Rudolph. Isn't that adorable?
Whoa. I would just like to push back and say, if they're such good friends, I feel like Gwyneth Paltrow would have been perfect for the Rose Byrne part in Bridesmaids, but she didn't get that part. So I just have to ask.
I don't know. I love Rose Byrne. Like, cause
she's really good in it.
She's so good in it. And then My favorite, you did not know they were friends. And not in a million years would you have known they were friends. And they still talk to this day. They went to the same elementary school, middle school, high school. And that is Zach Braff and Lauryn Hill. Lauryn Hill.
What?
The creator of my favorite album of all time, The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill. They were childhood friends. They went to Columbia High School together in Maplewood, New Jersey. And Lauryn attended his bar mitzvah, and he said, this is Zach Braff, said, there was a game called Coke and Pepsi. Did you ever play Coke and Pepsi?
No, I did. I'm not a big game guy ever, especially as a kid.
That's true.
Don't
That's
even know what
fair.
This game is.
That's true. So you have a partner, and one person was Coke, and the other person was Pepsi. And depending on what the DJ would yell, you had to run and get on that person's lap. And he said Lauryn was his Coke and Pepsi partner.
Most kids, like most teenage games seem like ways to get it as adjacent to hooking up as possible, but like in a structurally appropriate way.
You're just trying to get Pikachus near each other, or Pikachu and Diglett near each other, or Diglett and Diglett near each other. That's what you're trying to do. But I kind of love that they... But famously, she would not let him use a track from her album on Garden State.
Lauryn Hill, it probably didn't match the vibe of Garden State. But also, maybe she was like trying, she was like, hey, I'm trying to evade taxes right now. So like, let me do that. I can't like,
listen,
think about
I can't bring any more attention
songs.
To me because of all the taxes I have not paid. Yes,
keep
that's
low proof.
Very fair.
Yeah.
That's true.
I think that's a really good list. It, Bruce Paltrow and Dick Rudolph.
Those
are some
are those names?
Very white masculine names. We're just not getting anymore. You know, we just don't have those anymore.
I know we don't have them.
If you're listening and you're naming your baby Bruce or Dick or Bruce Dick or Dick Bruce, I would like to know because I just don't think those kids exist anymore.
Listen, are people naming their kids Dick?
I mean, maybe a Richie, you know, maybe
you
after the Bear season 2.
You cannot name your kid Richard and people not call him Dick. That's crazy.
It's just right there. I would love to see the chart, and it feels like it would be a precipitous fall. From like in the 60s, it was like, this is a great name. And then it turns into definitely euphemism for a penis. And it's got to fall off the cliff, right?
But you know who did that? Peter. Guy's name Peter was like, but doesn't it sound like that should also be called a dick?
Oh, this is a great
theory. Because
Peter's
like, we got to get the heat off of us. Yeah.
See, I think I'd always just thought that this was like, I didn't think it was like Big Peter was like, hey guys, yearly convention, let's get the heat off the dick stuff with us and put it on Richard. I just thought it was with Richard Nixon. I saw like people just didn't like him or like, what's the worst thing we could do? Equate him with the penis. And I thought like that's kind of where, but I like your theory.
The etymology of it. I don't
know. I think
know
your
theory
is a lot better. I think the Peters were like, hey, let's unite, you know, freeze frame, like high five. And like, let's really shift the narrative. Cause you don't really hear the penis Peter or penis Peter stuff anymore. I don't think, you know?
No, you just hear Dick. Yeah. It's been a great episode for kids, by the way. It's been a great episode for kids.
I don't know if you're still listening in episode 516 and you're like, I think I could sneak this one in with my kids around and it'll be fine. That's folly, bro. Like, what are you doing? That's
well,
crazy.
And I do think our show is a great show to help introduce your kids to concepts that maybe you're not fully comfortable with, but you can be like, did you hear Jamie when she said dick? Let's talk about it. Like,
yeah,
let's go to Chick-fil-A.
How'd that make
and
you
talk
feel?
About. Although I don't think Chick-fil-A moms are doing that, but Taco Bell moms are for sure doing that.
When Jamie was emphasizing how teenage the Mutant Turtles were, did that make you feel good or sad?
Listen, Michelangelo was like.
Okay, let's talk about friends that, you know, we've talked about friends that are friends that we didn't know about. Jamie, would you like to talk about friends that we want to happen?
I have created the perfect combination. Okay, so here's who I want. Here are the two famous people I want to be friends. That is Dwayne The Rock Johnson. I would like him to become best friends with the previously mentioned Raylan Givens. Timothy Oliphant. Now, pro tip, a listener who has the last name Oliphant did correct us in last week because we talked about Timothy Oliphant. And she's like, it's Oliphant, like elephant. And I was like, okay, well, we're going to learn. Learning together. Learning
I hear you.
Together.
I hear, and I want to do the soul searching, and I want to learn, and I want to correct my mistakes.
But you're not.
It's going to take 6 months, okay? It's a slow-moving boat here, you know?
That's fair. But here's why I think The Rock and Timothy would make great friends. First of all, they have a ton in common. You're not ready for how much these guys already have in common. They're both in their 50s. They were both raised in California. They live like 4 miles from each other, which I know in LA is like 7 hours, but still. They're both married with 3 kids. The Rock's oldest is Simone, And Timothy's youngest is Henry. They're both 22. They could get married.
Okay, let's go.
Okay. Both of them are descended from greatness. Obviously, The Rock. We did a The Rock Explained episode, which we'll include in the show notes, a link to. But, you know, The Rock, his father and grandfather are in the WWE Hall of Fame, right, which is right, pretty impressive. And then Timothy Olyphant, his paternal fourth great grandfather was Cornelius Vanderbilt. Like, the Vanderbilt. I know. Isn't that nuts? Like, that's nuts. Okay. Both The Rock and Timothy went to D1 colleges. I don't know what that means, but I assume that's, like, important college. I don't know. What's a D1
athletically
college?
It's the highest form of athletic competition.
Okay. So they both went to D1 colleges on sports scholarships. So The Rock went to the University of Miami for football, and little Timothy went to USC for swimming on a scholarship.
That's right.
Full scholarship.
Got a big swimmer figure. Looks like great shoulders, really narrows down at the waist, very aerodynamic.
And that's another reason I think they would be great friends, because they're not competing over best hair, obviously, because obviously Timothy has it. And then they're not competing over best body, because obviously The Rock has it, right?
Sure.
Because he has more of a swimmer's body. He has more of a all the chemicals that he has taken to make that body that big. It's really impressive. But here's why I think they should be friends, because I believe that The Rock is an overrated actor and Timothy is an underrated actor. Okay.
Okay. And I agree with all this.
I think that Timothy could make Dwayne better at the craft, and then Dwayne could help Timothy meet somebody, anybody, an agent, anybody that could help him get better roles other than just Graham Yost. Okay. I'd like him to meet somebody other than Graham Yost.
Because I think this is a great call, because obviously Timothy Olyphant. Timothy Olyphant.
Olyphant? Olyphant. Okay, like elephant.
You can't say like elephant, but then say Olyphant. So, okay, I'm gonna work really hard.
Those literally rhyme. Like,
it's just it's a lot of, and I'm just not a big instructions for pronunciation guy. It's just gonna be hard for me.
Well, so again, I watched the Conan clip. Well, there's a Conan clip where literally it's, how do we say Timothy's name? And Timothy is like, it's Olyphant. Like, I watched it over and over Olyphant. And then wrote it phonetically. Olyphant. 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 See, you made me do it wrong.
Oh no, you did it wrong. Now it's imprinted on me again wrong. So that's this is never gonna work. I don't even remember what I was saying.
Olympus.
Obviously, Timothy Raylan Givens plays a very famous sheriff. I'm hearing next season of Justified, we get another marshal and they're teaming up. We got a buddy cop situation. I think The Rock, if memory serves, one of his like first big roles was as a sheriff. He played Buford Pusser in like Adamsville, Tennessee, like Walking Tall, the adaptation.
Okay.
Y'all know about Buford Pusser? Y'all know about that guy?
No, I did not know about Buford Pusser.
Listen, he was a sheriff who was in like West Tennessee, Adamsville. He patrolled with a big old stick, like a club, like Samson, but redneck. Oh. And then the Dixie Mafia killed him. And that's a whole different conversation. But
okay,
The Rock,
see that.
The Rock didn't like do that version of it. Like they unsouthered it probably for good reason. But both are good at playing like law authority figures. So I feel like
they're excellent at it.
I really like that.
Okay, I would love that. I would love them to collaborate. Okay,
Aaron, are you Googling Buford Pusser? Because I just want to, like, if you do, I want to know your take, you know, once you get
She's
there.
She's like, I'm in the middle of working hard on Faith Adjacent, so.
See, actually, I'm not trying to flex on y'all, but I did play in a baseball state tournament when I was 12, you know, so like, whatever, you know,
is that,
not a big deal.
Is that,
let's be
you
cool.
Still believe, but you still believed in Santa then, too, right?
I mean, I was open to different possibilities about Santa at that point.
Buford Pusser has the comb over of a century.
Yes, he does.
I'm looking at it.
He's a real person. Does.
Yes, he is, Aaron. Did you think I was making that up? You think I just off
no,
the dome?
I'm
with Aaron. I thought it was the movie character. I didn't know that this was a real person.
No, like he really did get murdered by the Dixie Mafia. In like
he
almost
looks like
Memphis,
he could coach
Tennessee.
A football team.
Well, listen. So 12-year-old state tournament. What they gave like a participation award for after you got eliminated. They gave a team full of 12-year-olds a giant stick. To commemorate, like, this
one
is in Adamsville.
One stick to share?
Or no. We all got our own individual club to use, like a bat, but
club
like, with finished wood on it, like, to run around and, like, hit people with. It was a bad idea, but it's because we played in the same county that Buford Pusser sheriffed
in. Oh, that's kind of fun. Okay, that's fun.
My friend group thing that I want to happen is, you know what? I feel like, was that a gnat? Was that, an aggressive gnat? Because that was an aggressive reaction.
It's like it came at me.
Defense mechanism, like defense
that
movements.
It hurt. Like, it's out of control.
It sounds like a 747's flying through there. You know, you guys got to do something about that.
The South.
So obviously, you know, we've been talking a lot about Barbie and Oppenheimer, right? Like that's been at the theaters. They're married at the hip because they came out at the same time. I actually want them to solidify this freaking relationship, and I want a sequel, and I want Legally Barbie and Oppenheimer. You know, I want that. I want a historical fiction focusing on Oppenheimer suing to get his security clearances back, because obviously that's the best part of the movie, right? When he's talking,
that's what everybody talks about.
Everyone's loving that part. They're like, now who gets it, and what's that mean, and why is this bad? You just can't see government secret stuff anymore. But like, I want a movie focused on that, and he gets a new lawyer. And do you want to know who that lawyer is, Jamie? Do you know who's defending Oppenheimer? It's not Lawyer Barbie, because I think that's Sharon Rooney. So I want Margot Robbie. I want Margot Robbie.
Yeah, you do.
She's defending him. And Lawyer Barbie is assisted by her paralegal Ken, who's into it and is all into Oppenheimer. But then he sees the footage of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and he really goes off the existential cliff because he doesn't know what to do with this. How do you defend Oppenheimer, who like did this bomb that devastated these Japanese cities? So that's a whole like fun, I mean, not fun, but it's a whole thing, you know, that Ken's gets to work through. We get Legally Barbie or Legally Blonde vibes with Barbie. I just feel like it could be a lot of fun. Cillian Murphy seems like a fun guy, you know?
Okay. Will there be a sexual relationship between them?
I mean, there was, if you know anything about Oppenheimer and if you get the subtext in the movies, there's a lot of sexuality probably there.
He does
he
twiddles a lot of D's with a lot of people.
Can I spin zone you? Why has it got to be Barbie? Why can't it be Ken?
Why can't it be Ken? 100% can be Ken. Oh, that'd be
when
so
Ken's
fun.
On the existential cliff, it could be old Cillian Murphy helping to bring it back. You know, I don't know. Just a thought, just an idea.
I'm down with,
I thought
I'm
it could
down
be
with
like,
all of that.
Let's make it real in this cinema situation.
No, I love that. Good call.
What's another friend you want to happen?
Listen, I started thinking about it. You know, Taylor Swift, who I love, and we love the Eras Tour. It was a lovely show. I do think I do think Taylor needs a life mentor. Okay. All right. But the problem with Taylor needing a life mentor is that person has to be more famous than Taylor and has to be richer than Taylor. And that's difficult. Okay. Cause Taylor's worth $700 million and she's pretty famous. However, we all know who it is. It's Taylor Swift and Oprah Winfrey. Okay. Ooh. Because Oprah's richer. She's more famous, and the thing that she will bring to Taylor's friend group that I do think is kind of missing from Taylor's friend group is a lived experience that actually reflects maybe the childhood poverty that Taylor suggests in lyrics, like, I was raised on a farm. No, it wasn't a mansion, just living room dancing and kitchen table bills. Your father was a stockbroker. Okay, I need you to calm. Your mom did corporate marketing. Okay, I need you to calm
And everybody
down.
Had Ooh. Bills. Okay, it's just part of life. Everybody's got to pay bills.
Every time I hear that lyric, if we could let our friends crash in the living room, Taylor, you own 8 homes. You own 8 homes and none of them have more than one bedroom. You need to shut up. Okay, I don't like that. But okay, so Oprah is worth $2.5 billion. That's a lot more than Taylor is worth. Okay. Taylor's 33. Oprah's 69. That's nice. She has some lived experience. Taylor's single. Oprah has been with the same partner for 37 years, but didn't marry because she was like, no, not doing this legally, even though we're supposed to get married in November of 1992. We did not. They have a lot in common. They have real estate portfolios worth more than $100 million each.
What are you talking about?
I'm not even making that up. That's chaos. They both have best friends who are famous, Selena and Gail. Now, to be fair, Gail probably was made famous by Oprah, but now she has her own fame, right?
Yeah.
Both have media empires. Both have taken on The Man. Oprah took on Beef. Taylor took on the recording industry. They both have a history of disordered eating, so they could help each other in that respect. They both have a problem with blonde men treating them well. Remember when Oprah dated John Tesh and they broke up because he was not comfortable being in a biracial relationship?
Yo, I don't know what you're talking about. That's news to me right now. Breaking news right now.
That is a true story. Google it. Also, to be honest, I think Taylor needs a woman of color in her inner circle that hasn't been rich celebrity since birth. Zoe Kravitz is not her real friend. Y'all calm down. Plus,
How dare you? I will not allow this.
And to be honest, Zoe Kravitz is not that. Zoe Kravitz doesn't have a lived experience of a black woman in America, okay?
No, she's just making movies called Pussy Island with Channing Tatum. That's her lived experience.
She's in Channing Tatum. Like, hello, excuse me. And then Selena, I know you might be like, but Selena, and to be fair, Selena does come from poverty. She had a teenage mom. Like, I love that. But also, she's been a celebrity since she was 10 years old. You know what I mean? She needs an Oprah moment. Haim is great, but we need more diversity in our friendship group. Okay. Look at those 4th of July photos. That is the whitest group of people who have ever lived. You know what I mean?
Like, I really like this. I think like there's a very Godfather 2 dynamic here. You know, where it's like, yeah. Michael at the end, spoiler alert for Godfather, at the end of Godfather, he kind of conquers all the local, like, you know, like five families. He's the guy. He's the capo, the tutti capo or whatever. Godfather 2 is more about like zooming out and becoming the big dog, like overall. And so he takes on Hyman Roth, who's that old guy who just watches college football games shirtless in his house and has company, which is, again, the best move, the coolest move you could do. I need Taylor Swift to have like an alpha enemy in the form of like an Oprah, someone who supersedes her to the max. But like, I feel like Taylor Swift's always better when she's inspired. And to your point, I think she's so successful. Like, what inspires you when you're this successful? I don't know. I feel like you need an antagonist. So I would like Oprah to accept
that. Instead of making them friends, you would like to see Oprah be her enemy.
I mean,
like frenemy of sorts.
You know, here you go, Noxia boy. I'm not trying to be misogynist here. Trying to be a friend to the ladies. So maybe not that. Maybe like she's cool with Oprah, but then we also get an antagonist separate to them.
What if Stedman is the antagonist? You know
Whoa.
What I mean?
Or
Dr. Phil. What if Dr. Phil is the antagonist?
I think he is. I don't know that he's on their level. I appreciate someone like Stedman who's like, I'm going to live my life. It's going to be quiet. I'm going to do my thing. I'm going to benefit from this. I'm not going to make a rustle out here. And I'm just going to live the good life. And there's
I'm
going to
walk the dogs and somebody's going to make me every meal that I ever eat. Look, and the bonus of this, guys, why this is a great idea that Taylor Swift and Oprah Winfrey be friends is because Oprah's book club books can now each get a vault track. I mean, doesn't The Covenant of Water need a ballad with lyrics co-written by Aaron Dessner? I kind of love that. With our live shows coming up in June, I've obviously started doing a little shopping. It's always so fun to look for live show outfits and accessories and go through my travel checklist to see what might need a refresh. I don't need much of an excuse to get myself a Prezi, but one of the things I have on my list that I need to get before the new show is a new sun top from Pear Eyewear. Wearing my Pear Eyewear eyeglasses on travel days is probably one of my favorite life hacks, especially if you have an early morning flight. Who wants to wake up and have to deal with contacts before you have to get on a plane? Throwing on my glasses and then adding the sun top when I need them is just so much more convenient. I think the brushed rose sun top might be the perfect one to add to my collection. Pear sun top frames start at just $30 and the prescription glasses start at only $60. Don't forget that you can save even more by using pre-tax FSA and HSA dollars, and they always have free standard shipping and a flexible 30-day return policy. One pair, infinite possibilities. Go to PairEyewear.com and use code POP for 15% off your first pair. And support the show by mentioning that the podcast sent you in your post-checkout survey. That's PairEyewear.com, code POP.
Have you ever heard a song on the radio and felt like it was written about you? That's why I'm so excited to share about our new sponsor, Songfinch. Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever. Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist. I'm on their website right now, and I'm about to create my very first song. They've made it so easy. When you go to songfinch.com/podcast, all you have to do is click the big orange button that says start your song. In order to make the songs entirely original and personalized, they ask questions like, who are you creating this song for and what's your inspiration? You get to pick the artist who creates the song for you, or you can have Songfinch help you by selecting between genres, vocal styles, vibe, and tempo. You can get as detailed and personalized as you'd like, but the process couldn't be easier for a songwriting novice like myself. For a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anytime, anywhere. Go to songfinch.com/podcast and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value. Again, our URL is songfinch.com/podcast. Don't forget to share your song with us too, songfinch.com/podcast.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight. and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
This is a little out of left field, but one of the friend groups I want to happen, I think I want to, it's not that I want to like unionize this group, but I just want to call attention to, there's a huge group of a certain type of character or person. And I don't feel like we're acknowledging that, or I don't think we're understanding the totality of immensity of this group. So I would like to organize them into some kind of hierarchy, because I feel like I would like to see how the friend, connections either evolve or devolve. And that is, in the subset group of fictional rabbits. Do you understand how many fictional rabbits there are in the world right now? There's so many more than you can possibly.
There's probably more than I realize. I do, like, in my head, I immediately be like, that's a rabbit. Peter Rabbit.
Okay. Yeah.
Is Paddington the rabbit?
Paddington's a bear, not a rabbit, but he knows rabbits. He probably knows rabbits.
There are rabbits.
One. Just so you know, you've named one rabbit. You've named Peter.
No, there's the rabbit in the movie Us. There's lots of rabbits in that.
Unnamed rabbit.
And then there's the rabbit. Thumper is a rabbit.
Thumper. We got a Thumper. That's true.
And then Aaron, do you know any more rabbits?
Nope. Don't go to Aaron. You got to get one more before you can go to Aaron.
Okay. Rabbit. Roger Rabbit.
There you go. That's exactly
okay,
right.
Okay, Aaron, can you name a rabbit?
The rabbits in Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah, white rabbit.
Does that rabbit have a name?
White rabbit.
Oh, white rabbit.
Aaron doesn't see color. She just calls him rabbit.
We talked about somebody bowled that mava in last week.
That's the rabbit in Fatal Attraction.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
But yep, like, that's it still rabbit. Counts as a rabbit. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's alive at some point there in the movie.
She's named two. Can you get one more? We'll be tied.
Carmen has a rabbit.
Carmen who? The
Carmen
Christian
Sandiego?
Music
no,
artist?
Carmen from the internet. Good Karma.
Oh, Karma.
Knox Karma had a rabbit.
Carmen James, who is Good Karma Blog, who we love. And she does have a rabbit.
Knox had a rabbit.
I did. Justin
Oh, yeah,
Thumberlake.
You had Justin Thumberlake.
My friend Tiffany had a rabbit.
What?
These are not famous rabbits, Aaron. These are not famous fictional rabbits.
That's true. To be fair, Carmen is a famous in our lives.
She is famous
not
in my life.
Not
listen, I like that. That in the impromptu bunny rabbit draft that just happened here, still sitting in the green room of the draft is Bugs Bunny looking around, be like, nobody going to take me? That Easter Bunny?
Well,
nobody think about the Easter Bunny?
That's not as impressive. Come on.
You got the Energizer Bunny. You got Judy Hopps from Zootopia. The Trix rabbit,
about
Trix
when
for
Ralph,
the kids.
When Ralphie dresses up as a rabbit in A Christmas Story.
That's a
is
costume.
A
it's not actually a rabbit, but I see your point and I will accept
it. But is he a rabbit?
Yeah, he's a rabbit.
Okay. Why
he is a, I mean, he's still Ralphie, but he's not
it's
a rabbit.
It's supposed to, it's supposed to be embarrassing.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He's imitating a rabbit, probably one that we've already named. So I wouldn't say that counts. The Trix rabbit, there's B Rabbit, Eminem from 8 Mile, the Cadbury Bunny. There's the rabbit, rabbits from Mice and Men.
Up. Don't act like you're just.
I'm sorry. Was I acting like I was off the dome?
Oh, I've got a giant one list is here. The Easter Bunny.
Jamie, are you being for real? You know I said that. You know I said
didn't
that.
Hear you say it. Did you say Lola Bunny? Lola Bunny's hot.
Lola Bunny's there, Jessica Rabbit, the Velveteen Rabbit, Benjamin Bunny, Oswald the Lucky Rabbit, Buster Baxter from Arthur, Playboy Bunnies.
Disney Bunny?
Oswald is he's like the original Mickey
Isn't
Mouse.
Isn't Alice in Wonderland Disney? No, that's not Disney.
That's the first thing I said. You don't listen to anybody.
No, I'm saying you said it, but is that a Disney rabbit?
Is Alice in Wonderland Disney?
I think so, right?
I think so.
Is Alice in Wonderland? Yeah, Walt Disney Productions, bro. That's true.
Look at
I
that.
Did not
Why
think
isn't
that.
She a princess? Why can't she be a princess?
She's
is it
just
because
a
of the drugs? Is it because she took the drugs?
She's just a person.
Let me
like
see what else.
Structure.
I think the hair from the Tortoise and the Hare, the killer rabbit from Monty Python. There's a lot of rabbits. So all I'm saying is I just want to know, like, how are the bunnies organized? Like, who's the
so
cool?
You
like,
want
the
them all
bunny?
To be friends? Like, you want them to be all to be in a group together?
Like, is the Easter Bunny the lead, like, bunny person? Is it Bugs Bunny? You know, and why is it Bugs Bunny? Because I don't really, like, know
it
what
his
thing is.
It has to be Bugs Bunny. He's got the strategy.
He does, but he does. He also seems like he does some bad tweets or problematic DMs, you know, from the past. We're like, oof, Bugs, what were we thinking here?
Energizer Bunny's always doing job? Like today's show to try to like make it seem better. Bugs Bunny's misunderstood.
He's misunderstood. Do you know, I looked up what does he do? What is his work? Like, what's his job?
They don't have jobs.
They have jobs, Jamie. They 100% have jobs. Okay. Do you want to guess what his job is?
Yeah. His job is an accountant.
Honestly, that's a terrible guess. Objectively, you know that's a terrible guess.
Aaron, what do you think Bugs Bunny's job is?
He feels like a grocer.
A grocer.
First of all, it's grocer, but...
Is it?
I think so.
I'll allow it. I would have probably pronounced it like that as well.
Grocer. If you're a grocer, are you a grocery? How do you say
Let her finish. Let her finish. Maybe she meant grocer, and it's just a definition we didn't know about.
You know what I meant.
Oh, and it might be grocery. I guess it depends on where you're from.
I feel like he runs like a boutique grocery.
Oh, boutique like a grocery.
Like a Whole Foods, but like a mom and pop.
With like a ladies boutique that only sells small, medium, and large clothes.
Yeah, probably yeah. So.
He is actually, he's an entrepreneur. He's an inventor. He invented the carrot peeler. So he lives off the income that is generated.
I've never seen him peel a carrot. But I do not believe that.
First of all, Aaron, your energy is a little aggressive. I'm just reading from the Wikipedia entry. I'm not.
What are those teeth for?
That.
If you're not eating,
did you go
like
to the
that?
Bottom? Did you go straight to the bottom?
I went to scandals first. Doesn't have a lot of scandals. Doesn't have a lot of scandals.
Call back.
Yeah. But yeah. So I just want to know like what's the deal with the bunnies? What those bunnies do and how they do it? Okay. Well, that's our conversation on. Famous friends in pop culture. If you have thoughts and opinions on our thoughts and opinions, please let us know. Nightshame.com/516. All right, Jamie, you want to do some lights?
Let's do some lights.
All right. What is your red light this week?
Okay. I do want to start with a little tiny baby red light to all the listeners who heard last week's episode title, which was, quote, characters who probably did it and immediately assumed it involved a Pikachu or a Diglett. So that's on Knox. He titled the episode. People were really disappointed that it did not involve twiddling that D. So
it really stuck because I really sat there with it and I was like, man, this is a wordy concept. So how do I distill it down to its most innocent?
I mean, you did a great job.
Innocent essence. And I completely didn't think about all the perverts out there who were like, there's this is so many about sex.
They definitely listen to our show. So, but my proper red light is to me for turning into my parents, Chuck and Jan, who do not auto update their apps anymore on their phone because we have IT Sunday once a month where I just go and help them fix their printer and I fix their phones and I fix their computers because they don't like auto updates because they decide when the internet can make changes in their lives. And so I have turned into this because I am trying to prevent Elon Musk from changing my Twitter logo to an X logo. I don't want it. I want to keep my little bird. I don't care how he feels about birds. So listen, Jason, please wait. Oh, wait. Jason's not here.
It's Knox, me. Talk please. To me.
Okay.
Make Knox, eye contact please. With me and tell me. Ask, please, ask what you want.
Please,
yeah.
Please play Near My God to Thee. It near is copyright free. So please play Near My God to Thee as I lament what a super wealthy amuse-douche has done to the social networking site I have loved for more than 15 years.
Whopper, 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 Junior, double, triple, Whopper.
Now, literally was in my iPhone dock of my top four apps the entire time. It's where I met my emotional support coworker, Aaron. Aaron, we met on Twitter. It's where I met my Clary. She doesn't sound like that was meaningful for her. That's fine.
It was hard
keep
to meet your energy. Yeah.
Keep playing it. Listen, I met my Clary there, who is Laura Tremaine. It's where Natalie Grant got mad at me because I judged her for the dating show she was doing inside a church. It's where Beth Moore thought my mom was a drug dealer. It's where I live tweeted award shows for a decade. And Elon has mutilated it with his dumb face and his dumb ideas. Yet here I stand on the Lido deck holding a violin, determined to stay until the last breath I could take on the sinking ship. So sad. So sad.
Is Twitter also where the dolphin thing happened?
No. Was that where the dolphin thing happened?
No, the dolphin thing happened in real life.
It like it was a real life thing.
Remind me, what was the dolphin thing again? I don't remember for it's precisely.
Dolphins are sexual. Dolphins are sexual.
I'm not gonna tell you I'm not gonna tell what happened.
Aaron has a story where someone she knows was sexually not assaulted, but like sexually pursued by a dolphin. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sexually pursued by a dolphin.
Well, I mean, okay.
Because when the person said no, the dolphin retreated. Yes?
No, that's not the story. Oh. But you can tell it like that. That's fine.
Do you want to tell it?
No, I'm
you
not going to tell
you want
to
tell it at the birthday UA? Birthday no. UA?
Oh, so she right? was sexually assaulted by a dolphin.
No, I'm not going to tell the story.
Man, yeah, there's a second there where I was going to defend a dolphin, and I was like, hey, man, what you doing? Like, you don't even know the story. Why would you
but
do
guys,
that?
But guys, if you just Google let it be. dolphins often sexually perceive humans. Like, yeah. there is tons
they do
of stories.
It with dolphins, too.
Yeah.
They're not consensual animals.
The animal kingdom doesn't have to have consent. You guys,
yeah.
they're animals.
It's not predicated on that.
If that's the
consent,
line you want, if that's what you
that
want.
Is the line. Animals don't consent. That golden doodle did not yeah. consent. The golden retriever and the doodle did not, the poodle did not consent
the doodle.
To what happened to them.
The headline from this episode is that the ark was just a big... It's just what it is. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I didn't write the story. My red light this week is Loki season 2, the trailer. Did you watch the trailer by any chance?
No, I've only seen the poster.
Okay, that's fine.
I'm nervous.
Look, here, so I'll summarize it really quick. We have Ke Huy Quan is in this as like a repair
okay,
tech
look
guy.
At him. I love him getting work.
Love it. That's great. Gugu shows up. Love it. Great. It looks very time period jumpy. So we're just going to like jump to all kinds of time periods throughout existence. I feel like that could be interesting.
It could.
Mobius, Owen Wilson, he really is banging the floor about key lime pie as a great food.
Okay.
I have some distrust about that. I feel like pie as a food is very overrated. It's better in theory. There's the Jonathan Majors of it all as the big bad. But he has some abuse Ooh. Allegedly circling him. And as of yet, like The Hills taught us, the rest is still written on that story. So we don't know
right?
how that's going to play out. But the big thing I'm redlighting is that there wasn't even a single
wow
from Owen Wilson in this trailer. You show me Owen Wilson for at least 3 good minutes and we don't even get a single wow. Not
that's
one solitary wow. I just, the people making Tom Cruise movies, they're not going to make a Tom Cruise movie and not have Tom Cruise running. And yet here we are with Owen Wilson showing up, being charming, being convivial, being outgoing, charismatic, just a delight. And we don't get a single wow. So I don't, it doesn't bode well for me. It comes out October 6th.
No, it makes 6th. Me nervous.
I'm really
excited. Are you looking forward to the show?
Love the show. I love the show. I do feel like
Loki season 1.
I didn't watch a single second of Secret Invasion, if that's even the name of the TV show. With Samuel Jackson.
Yeah.
No, and I feel like a better person
because the reviews are poor. The reviews are very poor.
It's very hand-wringy about it, and I didn't see it. So I've been told the Marvel TV is dead. I think this is going to be great because I like Loki season 1, so I think I'm going to enjoy the direction it goes into. But if I had to create I'm doubtful or I'm worried, it would be because I didn't get a single wow from Owen Wilson, this trailer, I would say.
Well, of course that's why it's going to be. Of course.
What is your green light this week, Jamie?
Okay, my green light this week is a TV show. It's actually, they call it a miniseries. My theory is why they call it a miniseries is because the lead is not going to come back for a season 2, which it would not make sense if he came back. But also, I think they want to be in that category for the Emmys. So the TV show is Hijack on Apple TV. It is a 7-part thriller miniseries starring Idris Elba. It's about when flight KA-29 is hijacked during its 7-hour journey from Dubai to London. Corporate negotiator Sam Nelson, who is Idris Elba, he tries to use his professional skills to save everyone on board. Now, there's several things I love about the show. It was created by George Kay and Jim Field Smith, who are the wizards behind Lupin. If you like Lupin, you'll mm-hmm. like this. It's told in real time. So it's 7 episodes, 7 hours. It's a 7-hour flight. Like, we get in real time, which I kind of love that callback to 24 without needing 24 episodes. I like that. I'm also fascinated by the how do you pull off a crime like this that has really a lot of obstacles in its path. It's hard to hijack a plane because we were like, only that main time and then no more. We make it really hard. But every time they kind of reveal how something happened, you're like, well, that seems very plausible, which is actually discouraging as someone who flies. But there is a moment in the show that is so out of left field. It is my favorite feeling when I don't know what's coming. And then the thing that's coming is so shocking that I just stare mouth agape into the void. Game of Thrones did this really, really well. And Hijack has a couple of these moments, which I really like. Now, is Hijack going to win a Peabody? No, it is not. It is a fast paced, glossy good time with a lot of close ups of Idris Elba's face, which I am into. It's just a good time. it's a good time. And if you're looking for like a short 7-hour that you can binge, because all the episodes are out now, you can binge it. You'll have a good time. Like, you'll have such a good time.
I will. I haven't finished it yet because I'm not caught up. But glossy is the perfect word to describe it. And I'm sure I will get there on a green light when I finish it. But you're right. Like, this is, they built the plane out of, instead of the Black Box material, the Idris Elba material.
Yes.
Because this is just the coolest man who's ever lived. And I would, I would subscribe to a YouTube channel that's just like following Idris Elba about his day, because he's just, I just love spending time with him because he's such a quiet, confident actor and so cool, but also somehow you believe like that you could be on a plane with someone like Idris Elba, even though there's no universe in which I should be on the same plane as Idris Elba, you know, but he's that cool and that normal and relatable, but also intensely attractive and just smooth and suave.
Listen, this is how cool, you know, Idris Elba is that the fact that Taylor Swift wrote a song called London Boy. Mm-hmm. And at the top of it, she didn't hire Idris Elba to say what he said. He just was saying that in an interview where he was like, we can go driving on my scooter.
Just ride around London.
I did a perfect. That was perfect. Don't know.
I was going to ask, is that your Idris Elba? Would you like me to put with yours his so people can be like, oh my gosh, that was seamless.
Yeah. And so I kind of love like the fact that she heard that and was like, yes, he gets paid for that, by the way. He gets paid that is in that song. Like, good for him. Good for him.
I hope so. He did his life's work as Stringer Bell, so everything else is just gravy. And I just love spending time with any kind of character iteration he wants to do.
I know. Somebody recently asked that we should do a pilot program on The Wire.
I'm not against that. It's a tough entry point.
It like, is the a first tough three entry point.
Are not ideal in terms of like audience retention, but it's a great show. It's a right. Fantastic show. I'm greenlining two things this week. One, the first one is a book. This is The Rachel Incident by Caroline O'Donohue. I've been seeing it everywhere, and everyone's talking about how good it is. And every bookstore I walk into, it's always front table.
Yeah, I've heard it talked about a lot.
Yeah, so whenever that happens, I always assume it's a very commercial book. And I think I'll probably not enjoy it. So I tend to avoid those. But this is the story of Rachel Murray. She works in a bookshop and she meets a guy named James. And it's love at first sight, but it's not like that. It's like they're friends, because we later find out that James is gay. This deals with they live in the city of Cork, which is in Ireland. So it deals with like being closeted, coming to terms with your sexuality. But I think in some of the promotional stuff, you'll probably feel like you'll get, maybe that's like the headline of the book is like the sexuality as much, but I don't think it is. It's really a story about like, a really intense friendship. And I think that's really cool. The way the story comes together with the two characters going on their own separate journeys, but also together, I think is really well done and really interesting. It's super well written. I will say I listened to the audiobook. And I try not to push people in one direction or the other, because I know you have different ways you enjoy things. But I would say this is one of those that you want to listen, because I don't remember who reads the audiobook, but the intense Irishness of this book comes through in the audiobook, because it is an Irish reader. And there is a lyricality, a fanciful lyricality to the reading of this book that I feel like informs the story so much more than whatever my stupid imagination would have been like Irish people talking would have been. So I feel like it's almost a requisite to enjoying the story. But it's a parade of interesting characters and how they intersect and interrupt each other's lives. And I couldn't recommend it more. I think it took me a day and a half to get through it, and I really, really loved it. So highly recommend The Rachel Incident.
You know, I got sent this book. I realized as you're talking about it, I got sent this book from the bookshelf in my subscription, and I had not. It's just sitting on my TBR shelf, and now I'm going to pull it down and read it, because I think it was Annie's pick. So,
oh,
I
so love good. That. It's so very good. And then the other green light, this is maybe a baby green light, because it's just a single. I'm not, Shaboy's not a big music guy, but Tyler Childers dropped In Your Love recently, I guess over the weekend ish, in advance of his. New album coming out at the beginning of September.
I will wait for you till the sun turns into ashes and bows down to the moon. I will wait for you.
It's just a great love song, and I think I would just say for people who look at the South and see a bunch of inbred idiot bigots, There's certain aspects that are very true in that regard. But I would also like to put forth Tyler Childers as a tribute to maybe attempt to change that perspective. Are there those pockets of ignorance and racism and hateful behavior? Absolutely. Those are unfortunately everywhere. But I'm also, I think he's a representative sample of someone who is at the same time intensely Southern, but also intensely thoughtful in wanting to expand the coverage of the tent of humanity and allow all people in. I'm a little nervous because I'm reaching the point of such adulation and respect for him that it almost feels dangerous to put that on a person, you know, like you're going to be let down, and it's not fair to infuse someone with such, deference, you know? But I got into Tyler Childers after he released Long Violent History in 2020, which it's mostly a fiddle music album, except for the title track, Long Violent History, which functions as a protest song. He released the album with only a 6-minute, I think, YouTube video as press for it. But the 6-minute video, that's where I fell in love with him, because in it, he talks about why he did the album, and he encourages his, you know, white rural listeners to see and understand the plight of others and to consider if they too would be able to abide what happened to Breonna Taylor or George Floyd or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And if they couldn't abide that, then why would they expect other people to? And he goes on, Indy, if you don't mind, I put in the show notes, I feel like obviously the video will do a better job than I am, but he talks about the balance of being a Southerner and wanting to honor and preserve his heritage, but that we have to figure out other ways to do that beyond worshiping a flag steeped in racism and treason. And it's this balance of nuance that informs In Your Love, the song that came out. And when you listen, it's just a song about an enduring love and committed love to someone, even like in the face of other people not supporting it. But the video accompanying it features a same-sex couple. And I think more cynical people would say that's just to get notice in advance of your album coming out. But it's not. It's really who Tyler Childers has been for at least since 2020. And this is a guy who's dealt with a lot of addiction in his life. And I think when you probably, I can't say this for myself because I haven't experienced it, but when you have dealt with addiction, you probably see a full spectrum of love and identity for yourself, but also for others, and grace for others. And I think this video kind of shows that. And I love the song. I love the video. I love him. And I'm probably going to love the next album too. But I encourage you, if you're interested in just good music, I think you should check it out, because it's a really well done song, very well written lyrically.
So because of your affection for him, I finally did a deep dive on his music. It's fantastic. It's so, he's such a great songwriter. And then of course this video, like James Scully, Colton Haynes star in it, who are great and very hot. But I love that the treatment, he partnered with the like poet laureate of Kentucky, who That's is right. Silas House. And I remember reading Silas House's first book like 20 years ago and loving it so much. And Silas House and his partner, Jason Kyle Howard, they collaborated and wrote the treatment for this. It is like, you watch this video and you're like, talking about country video that is like, is so stunning. It's like a movie.
Yeah.
And at the end, you're like, why am I weeping like a big baby? Like, I'm a big baby. It is so good. I really want the song to be heard by so many people, because I do like exactly what you said. It's a stunning song on its own. And then to pair it with that video, which is so, it's so well executed. It's a beautiful, beautiful song.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, if you're interested in reading more, I wrote about it this week on my newsletter. And I wrote about how In Your Love is so spiritually different from maybe a song like Try That in a Small Town, you know? And just like comparing and contrasting what you can do with your art and your music if you really want to. So you can check that out on my newsletter, knoxcore.com. And that's going to do it for this episode of the podcast. And before you go, remember, anytime you're doing shopping on Amazon, make sure to go to amazon.com/shop/thepodcast first. So that your purchase is using my affiliate link. If for item purchase using that link this week was, Jamie, this is someone who is definitely not a serial killer. Just want you to know that. They're definitely not a serial killer. Just want to say that. Just want to come out the gate. Because people are going to hear this and be like, that's probably a serial killer. But I'm telling you, not a serial killer. Okay?
You
can definitely buy 100 zip ties for normal reasons. That's not serial killer stuff.
Listen, it's 100 zip ties for $10 with a 5% coupon.
It's a great deal.
Do you think the serial killer would get the coupon? I feel like they would. That makes me nervous. However, these zip ties have 4.6 stars, 1900 global ratings. And let me tell you who's not a serial killer, and that is Bruce, who left a 1-star review. Now, the best part about Bruce is you can learn a lot about a person if you just go to their Amazon profile and see all the things they reviewed. Let me tell you about Bruce. Bruce is, he has left 5 reviews total on Amazon. And I know that he's a Vietnam veteran. He believes the cause of the war goes back to the year 1919. Just read about it. He knows. He has 4 tractors. He has 2 cars. One is from 1951. And he likes to have plenty of military rations on hand. That feels weird. Anyway, he did give these zip ties 1-star. And he said, the ad clearly states that these are 16-inch zip ties. And this package says 5 millimeters by 400 millimeters. And 400 millimeters is 15.75 inches.
Bruce, that is not 16. What are you doing?
Bruce, come on. Bruce, he's not interested in your European way of measuring stuff.
I was hoping this was a young Bruce to validate our conversation about Bruce's young Bruces and young dicks.
No,
not like the name,
no.
Not the part, you know, but right. Here he is, Vietnam veteran. So.
Here he is. All right, you guys, don't forget, it's our birthday month. Our Allstate AUA, our birthday UA, is on Tuesday, August 8th at 9:30 p.m. Eastern. We have special discounted tickets for our live show in Austin and Atlanta. All the links are in Indy's magical show notes. Just look for them in your podcast app of choice. I'm Jamie Golden. You can find me on the socials at Jamie B. Golden.
I'm Knox McCoy. I'm learning to pronounce Timothy Oliphant correctly. You can find me on socials at Knox McCoy. Was that right? Was that the right pronunciation?
That's right. No, you did it. Nailed it.
You can find me on socials at Knox McCoy. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Bye, guys.